There's a new cheesecake baker in the Capital Region. Jack Bebb, owner and founder of Beverwick Cheesecake Co., is joining me to talk about the new bakery. I'd love to start by hearing the background. Could you give us the origins story of Beverwick Cheesecake Co.?
Yeah, sure. So basically, years ago, like I decided to make a cheesecake one time, and it was pretty good. So it was one of those things where I always had that as like a skill in my head. And then during the pandemic, like, you know, everybody had all this free time and everything like that. And, you know, cheesecake is kind of like, it's like an 8-hour process. So it was one of those things where it's like, I have all this time, like, I'll make a bunch of cheesecakes, you know, see what happens. And took off from there. I made a bunch, people were commenting, and I was like, oh, I wonder if anybody would, you know, buy this by the slice or buy a whole cake. So I reached out to folk and they started giving me, you know, money, which was very cool. And then it kind of snowballed from there. I was like, oh, I think I could possibly make a business out of this. So yeah, here we are.
You now have a kitchen. So now you have a place to create the cheesecakes, right? What has that been like?
That was interesting. Honestly, the hardest part was just finding space, just because during this pandemic, a lot of people have been doing homegrown businesses. Like, you see people selling muffins or bagels or pies now. A couple other cheesecake businesses popped up. So there are spaces available, but you just need to kind of know where to look. Like, people are kind of like reaching out to restaurants and stuff, which isn't always viable because restaurants need their kitchen pretty much all the time to themselves. But churches and community centers also usually come equipped with a kitchen that they don't use very often. So once I locked one down, it was interesting moving all my equipment there, getting the proper refrigeration stuff, and then learning how to use their equipment, because, you know, you get used to a certain type of oven, but then all of a sudden you're making something new and that's going to change the product you're putting out. So it was a bit of trial and error. And then also, like, once you get the commercial kitchen space, you need to get licensed, you need to contact the state so they can give you like tax information, you need to start a bank account. Like, it's a step one and kind of a process, but it's not the hardest thing in the world, honestly. Like, all the information's pretty easy to find if you're looking to do something like this.
And where is your kitchen located?
I'm in downtown Albany on Clinton Avenue, little bit above Arbor Hill, I think. Not quite in Arbor Hill, but it's in a community center. So there's a doctor's office, there's like a prayer center, there's a kitchen, obviously. They have summer camps going on during the summer. And I think they're teaching children's cooking classes in the kitchen on Wednesdays as well. So it's an interesting spot. Not a ton of foot traffic, but, you know, it wouldn't be a strange day if like 3 or 4 people just walked in and out of my kitchen, like through it to get to another part of the building throughout the day. So, yeah.
How do you sell your product? It's not out of this. This kitchen is just for creating your product. So how are you getting your product out there?
How people order is through either Facebook or Instagram, basically, because that's how people communicate nowadays. So instead of like spending money on a web space for such a small business, it just makes more sense. Like, oh, I'll create an Instagram account or a Facebook business page because those are free. I can post my menus, I can post what I'm creating, I can field questions really easily instead of like, oh, let me check my email and like 8 messages are waiting for me. I can respond to them in real time. I mean, as long as they're not crazy late or super early in the morning.
Your cheesecake recipes have a lot of variety. You have you know, could you go through some of the flavors, but also where does the inspiration for your recipes come from?
I have like 30 flavors right now, I think, and I'm still trying to come up with more. So I've worked in a kitchen pretty much since I was 17 years old. I used to be like a line cook, and then I was a sous chef at a couple places. I've waited tables. I'm a bartender right now, is like my second job. So I've always been kind of into the food culture. So especially desserts. Like, I mean, as a kid, who doesn't love sweets? But I was always like, oh, maybe one day I'll open up a candy shop and do like weird like flavors and stuff like that. But you kind of figure out like what works. You see what people like. I mean, I did a Girl Scout themed like cheesecake sampler. So I had like a thin mint, Samoa, toffee, lemon, like through that, I'm like, oh, people really like the Samoa. I mean, it's chocolate, caramel, like, and coconut. So that's a big one, actually. Like, people probably, I probably get an order for that once a week. You just kind of got to be willing to experiment a little bit. Like, I've made some that did not work out. And I thought it would be ones that were like a sure thing.
So it's very experimental.
Yeah.
So it keeps it very fun for you, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah. And now that, you know, fall is upon us, I have, you know, other flavor ideas. Like, you know, you got to try pumpkin spice, at least. That's the big flavor right now. And do something with apples. And I mean, pretty soon Thanksgiving food is going to be available. So that's going to be stuff you want to think about. You got to look at like what's in the market seasonally, really. Like, because you can have your standards, but you'd need to kind of, you know, do some eye-catching stuff occasionally that isn't going to be around forever, because that's going to make people want to buy it. Like, they're like, oh, it's only available this amount of time. So, yeah.
And you mentioned being for since a long time in the food industry. And so this last year was, it almost made people aware of the necessity of the food industry, but also the difficulties of it. Do you have some reflections from the past year and also how you were able to really rethink your own participation in it?
Yeah. So this past year, I mean, the food industry isn't going to go anywhere. I think that's something that no matter what happens, it's always going to exist in some shape. Like, I think there needs to be some changes made, just because, like, you know, we saw like takeout food was still available. Like, they changed some laws. So like, oh, you can have like cocktails delivered with your food, which honestly, I don't like that. We should have kept that. In my opinion, that was not a bad thing. And yeah, like some people don't want to go out, but they're still going to pay a business for like a drink. I think that's a great idea. Yeah, as far as the industry, I am very lucky where I have usually worked for businesses where the owner, when they say like, oh, we care about you, they're not just blowing smoke. The business I work at right now, actually, they're a small business, farm to table, but the owners are people who work. Like, they're not somebody who is like, oh, somebody didn't show up. Well, I guess we're shorthanded. Like, they will come in and work that shift if someone is not there to make sure that everything runs as smoothly as possible, which is rare, but it should become more common in the industry. Yeah. So it's been hard for sure. People who, you know, might call themselves regulars kind of showed their true colors when we didn't see them for a year and a half. Like, they never even got to go food or anything like that, where it's like, that's fine. Everybody was having a rough time. But then when we reopened, they, you know, came in expecting to have like the same experience, which was just not really possible. And then, you know, when they couldn't get it, they just didn't come back at all. So it's, you know, I think we all just kind of need to analyze like how we view the service industry as a whole. Like, and that includes the people who work in it and the people who just go there for food and drink.
It's a lot about connection and community, isn't it? I mean, from the bar, but also using your, I mean, I would say artistic expressions through these different flavors of cheesecakes. It's a way to connect with different people, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. It is very interesting to see, like, even age demographics, I've noticed, will very much go for like certain flavors, or like they'll message me and request something very specific. And then, you know, people who are younger are like, have you ever tried doing a savory cheesecake or something, where it's like, have you ever done like a port wine and rosemary cheesecake? I'm like, I've never even heard of those things. But I mean, if you got the money, I'm more than happy to experiment for you and see what happens. I'm a traditionalist with cheesecake. Like, I do all these crazy flavors, but honestly, in my opinion, you can't beat like a good vanilla cheesecake with a graham cracker crust. Like, that, I think, is, if you can do that, you're golden.
So quickly, what is behind the name? Where does Beverwick come from?
Beverwick is actually the name of the trading post that became Albany back when the Dutch controlled the area that is now New York State. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do like an old trading post sort of thing, which is where like the CO comes from. And my logo is like a ship. Yeah. For a little history in there.
You are on Facebook and Instagram. So how do our listeners find you?
Honestly, just type in the word Beverwick. It's BeverycK. I should be the first thing that pops up on Facebook and Instagram, especially if you put the word cheesecake after it.